We're back to our mini series, Coaching with Costas, Kalisperas. Costas, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, Matteo. It's great to be back. Always a pleasure to see you.
Today's topic is dear to both of us. We spoke about this right before hitting the record button. One of the many reasons why people don't really enjoy their job is that they don't always get along with their boss or their colleagues because they usually find them difficult to deal with. And I would like to address this with you today. I am not exactly sure how we want to introduce the topic of dealing with difficult people, but if that is okay, and if that is the right move, I will leave it to you to address this.
Sure, it's a big topic again, but that's why I enjoy our conversations. We'll come to what difficult means in a moment, because difficult means different things to different people. But let's just start with the basics, because I think it's worth realizing that we all have a natural survival brain setup, right? The fight or flight feeling is natural and it's important to our survival. Adrenaline, cortisol, picks up if we feel threatened or undermined. So, if you think about all that, that's what difficult people represent in a workplace. They represent the challenges or risks to our own well-being, to our own career path, to our own progress. So, I think it's natural, right, to feel the stress hormones rising, either with difficult people or in difficult situations. So, the first observation is to be kind to oneself in those situations where you feel the anxiety or the stress around difficulty. But let me ask you the question on what difficult is and push it back to you, if I may, Matteo. What would you say is difficult about a person?
Yes, that's a good question. I would say the obvious case scenario would be someone being disrespectful to me or stealing my work or in some way undermining my success at work. Another example could be, let me see, maybe talking behind my back, which is something that obviously I don't really appreciate, but it's also common. Not sharing information with me that would maybe benefit the team or the company, not answering my messages, work-related messages, obviously. So these are all scenarios that come to my mind. I don't believe there is one specific thing that I can think of when thinking about difficult people. And also, I will factor this in. I am aware that a difficult colleague may also not be like that on purpose. Right. They might have simply a different view on things, but I somehow perceive them as being difficult. Does that somehow help or answer your question?
It more than answers my question. In fact, it frames the rest of this conversation because when I asked you that question, your response was specific types of behavior, undermining me, disrespecting me, taking credit, not answering, and so on. So the primary opportunity when so-called managing difficult people is actually to separate, exactly as you did, because you're a smart man, the behavior from the person. Labeling people cannot help you or them. So that person is difficult is not a useful foundation. When they take credit for something I have done, I find that undermining is a better starting point. When they talk about me in ways that are not productive or constructive, or frankly, others, without discussing that to me directly, that I find frustrating. So, the primary sort of foundation for helping deal with managing difficult people is not to call them difficult, not to label them, but to make sure one unpacks, one understands the behavior that is causing you, by definition, the stress that we started at the beginning of this podcast framing, right? What is it about the behavior that is causing me, less than full satisfaction in my work life? So that's the first thing. Understanding it, as you rightly alluded to as well, is obviously the next step. What is it that is driving that behavior? And sometimes people may not understand how they come across, believe it or not.
It sounds like I don't want to sound more literate than I am, because I'm not, but I believe it could have been Walt Whitman, but don't quote me on that. Walt Whitman said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And it seems like this fits exactly our conversation. So what you're saying is there is someone that I perceive for some reason to be difficult. Maybe they're touching on a specific trigger point, and that comes across as difficult to me. In an ideal world, what I would need to do is to separate that person from what actually is happening, from their behavior, and somehow focus the attention on the behavior, analyze the behavior, and try to understand where that comes from. Maybe even trying to put myself in that person's shoe. Is that somehow a good way of paraphrasing what you just said?
It's a perfect way. I don't. You need me anymore, Matteo. I think you have the answers. So let me just respond to that curiosity comment because I think it's really important. There's a author called Sally Helgeson who has written books about women rising in the workplace, but also about everybody rising in the workplace. And she doesn't call it giving somebody the benefit of the doubt in terms of behavior, which is a phrase we often use. It's actually giving someone the benefit of your goodwill. The benefit of your goodwill. So, if somebody is displaying difficult behavior, as defined specifically in the various ways you've described, and I'm sure our listeners, when they heard your list, put a name to each of those behaviors in their own work lives. We all do it. Oh, I know somebody who undermined me. Oh, I know somebody who spoke badly about me. Right. So, the benefit of your goodwill is actually to apply an optimistic, but also a curiosity lens to the situation. So, the optimistic lens is what are the facts in this situation? What's the story I'm telling myself about those facts? So, what is it that they're saying or doing that is making me feel uncomfortable or undermined? And what am I saying to myself about that? Is it because of me? Have I done something wrong? Or is it, could it in fact be because of other situations or other contexts that that person is dealing with that I don't really understand? Yeah. So, first of all, applying a sort of optimistic lens, the benefit of your goodwill to the behavior. The reverse lens, and this comes out in a really interesting Harvard Business Review article, actually, I read recently. The reverse lens is what you alluded to. What's that person feeling? And in what way does their behavior actually make sense given what they might be feeling? And given that, what's my responsibility, Kostas's responsibility, Matteo's responsibility in how I respond? Not react, how I respond to that behavior. Okay. The third thing I want to just throw out there is the long lens. And this is the hardest lens to apply in the moment, but actually is the source of all experiences that lead us to grow as leaders, which is asking yourself, regardless of right now and what I'm facing with, how can I grow and learn from this experience?
I'm thinking, obviously this is an interesting exercise, but it's also an energy consuming exercise, right? So this is what I'm thinking. I'll try to unpack it to you, maybe with the wrong terms, but please bear with me. Let's say I'm in the office and I deal with someone, or I need to have a meeting with someone who I deem to be quote unquote difficult. According to the approach that we've just discussed, I first of all need to separate the person from the behavior, which is very, very clear and super useful to me. Then look at the facts, the stories that I'm telling myself, trying to put myself in that person's shoes and try to understand to the best of my ability what that person is feeling. And then look at this third phase of long lens that we've just discussed. It sounds obviously that dealing with difficult people can be very much energy draining, depending on the way we approach it, depending on how badly we want to solve this situation. Do you believe that sometimes is just better to sit down with this person and hash it out and express our concerns and have a face-to-face conversation and say, hey, this is what I am dealing with. This is what I'm afraid our work relationship will turn into if I don't talk to you. Would this, in your opinion, make things worse, or is that an approach that should come in later at some stage?
What a fantastic question. Communication is always the answer, but how and when obviously is the key. So the first point is that you've got to choose your battles in life, right? I mean, we work in a diverse environment. We're going to face difficult behavior, not people, right? In different ways at different times. And one can decide whether it is an incident that is relatively one-off or a consistent pattern and make a decision as to how and when one may choose to do something about it. So that's the first thing. I'm not suggesting you don't communicate. I'm simply observing that how you do it and when you do it obviously can make things better or worse. And that's the fear, right? The fear, if you're non-confrontational, as I know you are, because you're a much more sort of optimistic consensus type mindset, which I respect, is the fear that if you do intervene, if you do confront, things can be worse, right? Things can get worse. So that's the embedded fear. And it goes back to fight or flight, right? It goes back exactly to this protective natural instinct of survival. So there's a couple of thoughts I have about how one does it. The most important thing is to change again the way you describe it. You said, is it good, Costas, to hash it out? That's very confrontational terminology, right? I've got to beat the other side. I've got to convince them that I'm right and they're wrong. Okay. So if you think about it, and this is quite important, it's helped me even in some of my personal relationships, by the way. You've got to remember that even you are somebody else's difficult person, or even you may display behavior that other people find difficult. So the first sort of lesson I think that I have certainly learned through my coaching practice in terms of some of the mechanisms out there is to use inclusive language if you're going to not confront, but communicate with the other person about some of the difficulties. For example, Matteo, if it was you and I having a difficult, Matteo, I'd love to speak to you because I feel as though we are not communicating in an effective way. Somehow, I feel as though we have complementary skills. We kind of understand each other on some topics. But when it comes to this situation with this group of people in this context, I'm finding myself not being as productive or as effective as I can be. And I wonder if we can discuss how we may approach it to both be more effective. So, does that sound confrontational to you?
Not at all. Nothing you say to me sounds confrontational. So you're obviously really good at this. But jokes aside, no, that actually sounds, like you said, inclusive and friendly and professional. And if that was directed to me, I would be very much open to have a chat.
Okay, that's the first thought. But again, it's just reframing your own narrative, not let's hash this out and get it out the way and move on with our lives. But again, going back to what I said earlier, is there something beyond this situation that I can learn from and grow from? And the truth is, dealing with difficult behavior is the source of your growth as a leader. So rather than thinking of it as a risk, as a fear, actually, some of the most trusted relationships are built in difficult situations. When people actually move towards the conflict rather than shy away from it, address it in an inclusive manner, and build trust by seeking common understanding. I mean, I've seen this in one of my recent clients. I mean, they are now very close to the person that they felt was difficult to them, and that other person felt they were the difficult one. They are now partners in crime, as it were, trust each other more than they trust other senior professionals in their global organization, and are helping, evolve some of the leadership issues that exist in that organization. So if one reframes the difficulty as an opportunity for yourself to learn, right, how to manage the difficult situation by using inclusive language, I think that can be an incredibly powerful tool to your own development as a leader.
I'm really happy where this conversation cost us. And I believe I had a question in mind, but I do think you've already answered that perfectly. I'm going to ask that anyway as a final, let's say, closing question. If I zoom out on the conversation, if I zoom out on the topic of dealing with difficult people, I wonder myself, is it absolutely necessary to get along with your coworkers, your manager? Can't we just sometimes agree to disagree? Can we just sometimes avoid making all this effort to getting along with someone, to agreeing on something, or let's say to amend what we believe is a difficult relationship?
That's a fantastic question and a tough one. The truth is, you're not always going to succeed in addressing difficult behavior in a constructive way. There's only so much one can do at times. Okay. So I'm not a naive idealist that you can continue to have conversations at all times. As I said earlier, you have to, first of all, pick your battles. But there are three real options, aren't there, in life? You either avoid it if you can, you could address it, or you quit. People sometimes quit organizations if they don't feel the behavior that they find difficult is able to be changed, not simply because of the person who's just demonstrating the behavior, but because they recognize there may be a systemic, a contextual context in which that behavior is not prevented or pointed out by senior leadership. So I'm not suggesting we're there with day-to-day, difficult behavior, right? But addressing every difficult behavior is a full-time job. And that's why one has to sort of have some perspective in terms of when is it preventing you from excelling in your executive function? And when is it simply a nuisance factor or making your journey a little bit more difficult. So you've got to do that assessment. I think we each do it daily, right? Which email is frustrating, which comment is difficult, which meeting was not as constructive perhaps as we hoped it would be. But when you do feel it's important enough to address, then it's important to do it with inclusive language. Then it's important to do it by sometimes pointing out the behavior that has an impact. Again, I go back to where we started. Some people may not realize how they're coming across. By the way, Costas, you may say to me, sometimes when you say those things, I feel as though other people react in a certain way. Oh, I had no idea, Matteo. Thank you for letting me know. Again, if it's done inclusively and kind of with kindness, you can be kind and professional, by the way, because again, the curiosity is the key. I don't know what's going on in that person's mind. I don't know what else they're dealing with to demonstrate this behavior. But if you address it in a constructive way, then actually it's an opportunity for growth, not only for you, but for the other person.
Costas, I appreciate you and your answers so much. You have no idea. And in all fairness, I feel very much privileged having this chat with you. And as a final remark for our conversation, I would love to extend this privilege to others. And this is a topic where I believe lots of people would love to chime in and comment. What is the best way to interact with you on this, reach out to you, and maybe, anyone who wants to leave a comment, anyone wants to, let's say, pick your brain on the topic. What can they do to do so? Can they reach out on LinkedIn? Can they do that directly on your website? What do you
All of
suggest?
the above, man. You're the host of Step Zero. Obviously, they can access Step Zero and speak to you. But I'm on LinkedIn. Obviously, I have my website, intuneexec.com. But I'd love to continue the conversation. As you say, it's one that is central to everybody's career journey and, frankly, everybody's personal journey. Some of these techniques, some of these insights that I have learned since being a coach have helped me with family members and with friends. So this is not confined to the workplace. We're all human beings. We all have challenges and difficulties to deal with. And finding constructive ways to lean in rather than avoid where we can, where it makes sense to do these situations, actually affords not only opportunities for growth, but actual opportunities to embed, to entrench, to deepen trusted relationships, because that's the moment you realize and you see the humanity in each other.
I very much look forward to our next conversation with Coaching with Costas. Thank you once more so much again, and till next time.
Absolutely. Great to see you. Thanks, Matteo.